Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky, and football season is here right now, and that means Brian Baldinger every single Tuesday, 7:30 all season long. Baldy, now back to Steiny and Goo, and you know my boy from the Un is about to spit that liquid hot magma. Get him, Goo.
Oh, why does that put me in a good mood?
Get him.
It's not like he's rapping. Shasky good? Man, there's no
liquid
doubt.
Liquid hot magma.
Yes. Oh, man, Grandy, I'm mad at you.
Why?
Ken doesn't know this. I'm about to tell you why.
Uh-oh.
So during the break, I'm the older guy of the show. I go get a Reese's cup and a 7-Up, trying to be a diabetic. And you come in here with orange slices. Like, you can't.
Oh, it's an apple.
An apple. Same thing. Healthy, man. Why couldn't I have done that?
Fuji apple.
There we go. My man.
Throw it off to YouTube.
There you go. Anyway.
Apple a day, Goo.
I like that. Green apple or red apple?
Red.
All right.
I'm a Fuji guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a Celtic fan.
No.
A green apple.
Not a Celtic fan.
Yeah, I'm reaching now.
I do love me a good Reese's peanut butter cup, though.
Now, I did a video and pasta risotto helped me yesterday. My man, I put it on TikTok.
He was telling me about this.
And it was minus four Detroit. It was a loser. I'm not dibs who's on fire. But I have my Valkyrie shirt on. And remember, this is a true story, and I brought it up during the break. You did a show filling in for Dibs at Splash right before the Valkyrie season.
Yeah.
And I was in the caddy, quarter tank of gas. And you said you thought the Valkyries, before they played one game, would be the next Bay Area team to win a chip.
Yeah. Not this year, but the
just
next
in general.
The next Bay Area team
but
to win a championship.
But how's that looking? I'm just saying.
It looks better now than it did then.
Because you caught heat.
Caught heat.
Yeah.
Everyone was yelling at me for that.
Everyone's
thinking,
season.
Oh, so you think the Giants aren't going to win, the Niners aren't going to win, and the Warriors aren't going to win? Yeah, generally, your teams don't win every year. That was my thought.
I know we're going to play Doc
and guess what?
Sam.
The Giants aren't going to win this year, so there's
and
one down.
And that's where I wanted to park the car real quick, and we're going to get back to the Niners. But I'm so disappointed in the Giants. They got hot, then got cold again, and you're 2-8 in your last 10.
We saw
the offense, but somebody's got – I'm just telling you, Grandy, you didn't ask. I just would like to see Buster bring in a new manager.
You're done with Bob.
I'm done with Bob. They're 2-8. The Reds are in the last spot right now. That should have been the Giants.
The Diamondbacks are there.
They're one back. Like, Ken's like, oh, they got hot. I don't care. Why didn't they stay hot? That doesn't constitute you going 2-8 in the last 10. So you got hot. We could taste it. And then you fell off again. Why?
I don't know.
So do you have a problem? That's the theme of this year's Giants. I don't know.
That's a very, yep.
But seriously, like, I'm passionate about this. You are okay with Melvin coming back? I'm just asking.
If I was the one making decisions, I would not bring Bob Melvin back.
Oh, well, that's big.
But
okay.
I think they're going to. I think that decision is basically
Reds
already been made.
Caught the Mets.
The Giants caught the Mets for a minute.
Right. Saturday, get the Dodgers last.
And then Logan Webb,
dude,
put together
got four runs. It was 4-1 in the after the first. The Giants are
and
up.
You're thinking, oh my God, they're going to be in a playoff spot at the end of the night. And then Logan Webb puts together the worst outing of his season. Unfortunate timing.
It's disheartening, man.
Yeah. Did you watch the game last night?
Yeah, it was a funeral. I turned it on. Cardinals scored.
You're a bigger man than me. I did not watch.
I did not watch a second of it. I just turned it on. Like, okay,
would they lose 6-5?
Yes, I'm just like,
that's
oh,
the Cardinals
man.
Also not playing for anything.
Good Lord!
But they got the win.
Yeah.
Well, We're going to have some amazing baseball this week. Just all not right. going to be happening here in San
Francisco. Estimated eye saying goo is disgusting.
It is disgusting.
It is. Great word.
It is. Okay, Dr. Pandya was on with the Joes this morning on the morning roast, talking about Nick Bosa's ACL tear, which will end his 2025 season. First of all, it was reported, and Shanahan confirmed it, a clean tear of the ACL for Nick Bosa. What exactly does that mean? Here's Doc Pandya.
They use that term a lot. You know, the Rappaports and the Schefters use that term. It's something we don't really use that much, you know, when we see patients. But what they're typically trying to say is that an ACL is just an isolated injury. And then there's no meniscus tear. There's no ligament tear. There's no other damage that they're seeing in there. So I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that it is simply just a clean ACL tear and no other secondary damage there.
Okay, so simple, straightforward, still not a good thing, of course, but no other damage. It's just the ACL that has been damaged. Everything else is intact and good. I guess to a certain degree, that is good news. But here's Doc Pandya on the difficulty of recovering from a second ACL operation on that same knee. Because remember, Nick Bosa hurt that same knee in high school. It was not a complete tear of that ACL back then, but he did have to undergo ACL surgery. So second time that that knee, that ACL, is going to be reconstructed. Here's Doc Pandya on the difficulty of doing that a second time.
Yeah, this is a very difficult injury for anyone to go through, particularly a professional athlete. And I think the hard thing when you go through a second ACL surgery is that knee's already been operated on. There's going to be a lot of wear and tear in there. There potentially could be some degeneration over time. And we think of a first-time ACL, you know, it's usually 9 months. Second time can sometimes be up to a year, just getting your strength and mobility back. The one thing that's working in Bosa's favor is just a phenomenal athlete. And I think what limits a lot of people when they get that second ACL surgery is that, you know, that motivation to work out, get that muscle strength back. It's that much harder to build back. But Bosa's already starting so high and has experience with it. So I think that's what's working in his favor. But his age and the fact that he's had multiple injuries is a little bit concerning. But if there's anyone who may potentially have a positive outcome, it could be him.
Mm. So, I mean, Doc's telling you, generally speaking, it becomes more difficult to come back from this a second time, but he's also Nick Bosa and one of the best athletes on the planet.
Yeah, and I'm going off the farm on this take, but I told you, I think it during every break, damn, Grandy, if I had a magic wand and you just think of injuries like video games, you could turn injuries off.
God,
you know, what
imagine.
Would the world and how many careers would Bill Walton's of the world, just Grant Hill, I can Penny Hardaway, just
my mind
so
goes
many.
To Brandon Roy.
I was going there that one playoff game he had against the Dallas Mavericks.
Dude,
that's incredible.
He's amazing.
But it's just like Bosa doesn't I have body envy. You see that dude? He don't have 1 ounce of body fat.
Yeah.
But yet,
in terms of a dude like doing the most to protect himself from that, and he still can't escape it.
And that's what sucks about sports, Grandy. You never know. And I know we're talking football, but it's truly why the Warriors did not go far in the playoffs. You know, if you didn't have to play game 6 and 7 against Houston, but and Curry's thing, like who saw that coming, Grandy? And soon as he pulled up, like Bosa,
season over.
Yeah.
Kaput.
It just stinks,
done.
Man.
Doc Pandya on the risk. You asked me this earlier, and I told you I didn't even want to think about it. Doc Pandya was thinking about it. He was asked this morning by the guys on the morning roast, the risk of Bosa after another ACL injury, maybe not returning to form. Here's Doc Pandya.
No, I think that definitely is a worry. I mean, I think the big thing we look at, number one, is you don't know how the knee is going to respond, right? And you could go through the rehab, everything could go great with surgery, but the big unpredictable part is, how does that knee respond to contact? How does it respond to when you're playing? And it could be one of those things where the knee's swelling up, here's a couple of weeks off, et cetera. So that's an unknown factor. And number two, it's usually the second season back. You know, we saw that with Clay. We saw that with other athletes where their statistics get more normalized. You know, luckily when Bosa had that injury in 2020, his first season back was actually pretty good. But once again, you just don't know what that level of performance will be. So could he come back? Absolutely. Could he come back at a high level? Yes. But I think the fan base is going to have a little more patience with someone who's had 3 ACL tears and how they're going to come back and how they're going to respond. But if there's anyone who can do it, I think it could be him.
So kind of the same answer as the last one. When dealing with the second specific tear in that same knee and the third overall, and now he's approaching 30 years old. He's not there yet. He's 28 right now. He'll be 29 in October. So
he's got some good money coming from the Niners.
A lot of good money coming from the Niners. He'll be 29 in less than a month. In fact, exactly a month, October 23rd, he turns 29. Oh, pardon me. He turns 28 in October. They're just calling it already his age 28 year. That makes sense. So he's 27 now. He will be 28 coming up in a month. But it seems like if you're a normal person, like if it was you and Igu that had suffered multiple ACL tears and three overall, it's done. We're never getting back. And our athletic peak, of course, was nowhere near. I'll speak for myself. Nowhere near Nick Bosa. I know you think highly of yourself athletically, Goo. My athletic peak, nowhere near Nick Bosa. And if I had gone through what he's going through, there's no chance I ever come close to what I've ever been. But maybe Nick Bosa is just such a supreme athlete that he's able to fight through it. But I have a hard time believing that doing this again, coming back for his age 29 season, and being as good as he's ever been when he's already been the best defensive player in the league.
The bar is set high.
That seems like a very, very high bar to clear.
Yeah, and if we want to keep it real and put another rat on the table, brought to you by Echo Pest Control, Grandy, I believe Bosa was chasing the ghost of what he was the year that you had mentioned he won DPOY.
2022.
You know, that's how great and demonstrative he is in a game record on the field. The body stayed the same. I just felt like I wanted to see a more meaner Bosa, and I feel like we were in the process of seeing that. So now you just think about the impact he's had on Mykal Williams, Alfred Collins, all the rest of the gang up front, and, you know, seeing him prepare and get ready for a game. I'm being real. This is just not, you know, radio talk. So, you know, he'll have his surgery and hopefully be around the team. You know, that's going to come. But, Grandy, if he's made an imprint on these youngsters, first-year players that are now going to try to fill his shoes, you know, hopefully, you know, there's been an impact. But I'm looking at you right now and Ken and Risotto asking you, who is their best edge rusher now? Who is their best down defensive lineman in the three? You're like, I'm like, this is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. I mean, their best pass rusher is Bryce Huff by a mile.
Coming off the edge,
but
would that help?
You don't feel great about him playing every down.
And it wasn't in Philly last year. You know what I mean?
No.
The different defense.
And even with Robert Saleh in the Jets when he was at his best, he still then was not an every down guy.
Man.
And he might have to. Like, if you notice, when Bosa went down, Bryce Huff played some first and second downs because they didn't really have anybody else to turn to. But it's going to be Huff who becomes the guy that has to get home on big downs now. And then you're going to have to hope that Yetur Gross-Matos is all right.
Yeah.
You're going to have to hope that Mykal Williams continues this upward trajectory. And I know
he's been on the inside, but now you're going to be on that.
Well, he's been on the outside. Yeah. So basically, he's on the outside, and then when Huff is in, he moves to the inside.
I had seen that, and I was like, that's Robert Saleh.
Now he might just be on the outside, maybe exclusively. I don't know.
Baldy had talked about some of that too, him being on the outside.
Let's see. I'll find it.
Can do it, yeah.
Before I do that, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Here it is. Baldy, who was also on the morning show today with Spadoni and Shasky, how the Niners defense changes schematically without Nick Bosa. Here's Baldy.
Well, you saw Bryce Huff played a lot more snaps than he probably needs to play, and he played really well. But he's not an every-down player. Like, he'll wear down. They'll run at him, and it'll be a problem. So you got to keep him in his role. Mykal's got to play more snaps than he's probably ready to play. He played really well. He can play inside or outside, but now he's probably going to be your starting end right now. It's a trickle-down effect, but it's a big jump from Nick to everybody else. And so I don't know, protection-wise, I mean, teams are going to get five guys out now, probably a lot more regularly than they're used to, which is going to make it more difficult to defend on the perimeter and running backs and things like that right now.
I think Baldy's spot on. It just means, Goo, one of a couple of things, players that you shouldn't be relying on to play every snap or a lot of snaps are going to have to play every snap or a lot of snaps. And the young guys that maybe, one, haven't earned the right, and two, aren't consistent enough to be every down players are going to have to play all the time. And if they're not good, you're going to have a hard time being a good defensive front.
And that impact is huge, and it's huge because Bosa was so huge to this defense. Now the question is, Grandy, is are these guys ready for it? Because it's been, I won't say cute because it's football, and they've been balling, and there have been some ups and downs, more ups than downs. But now, you know, to hear Baldy talk about Bryce Huff, Huff, and they want to run at you. And you talk about his time with the Jets and Philly, man. Like, that is real in the field for the Niners now defensively losing Bosa. Is it going to cost him games? We don't know. And I'll be the first one here Monday telling you all if somehow they stifle Jacksonville, I'm going to come in here, and this would be another version or story or a Monday after a victory Sunday saying, damn, the Niners won another game without such and such. And this time, that being Bosa.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. We're talking about Nick Bosa's ACL tear and some of the specifics of it being his third ACL issue, second on this specific knee. And we got an interesting call from that guy in the city, who apparently is also going through another ACL issue on the same knee.
Talk to us, man.
Talk to us. That guy, you're on with Goo and Grandy. What's up?
Grandy and Goo, what's up, my guys?
Hey.
Hey, a couple of things, brother. And Goo, I got something for you, big dog, at the end. But a few things. I was talking to your producer there. And, yeah, I'm going through the same thing right now with a second ACL on the same knee. And, yep. And it was put in around the same time that Bosa had his put in high school. So I was talking to my doctor, shout out Shadlands in Walnut Creek, where I saw, you guys know more, Maurice Jones-Drew. He was getting treated there a while back.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was hollering at him. But the doctor told me about that same time they were putting in ACL cadavers that weren't not as strong as they could be, but basically they would wear out. So she's getting a lot – my doctor's getting a lot of clients coming back in the same knee that – and I couldn't even describe what happened. I was just on a mountain bike. It felt a little sore, and I went in to get checked out, and she's like, son, you got no ACL again in the same knee. Yeah, so there was no significant injury. Like even with Bosa, I don't think there was much. But, yeah, so she's saying they just kind of wear out. And like Pandia was saying, you don't know what's going on in that knee. You could have arthritis. You could have swelling of meniscus. There's a lot of things that they don't know until they open it up and see what's happening. So I'm getting mine right before Halloween. And it's very similar, eerie, to what Bosa is going through. And then I got another thing for as far as the Niners. I was telling my guys the other night, they're all down in the dumps, Bosa's gone. I said, look, 3-0, who thought that? Maybe 4-0 next week, which means all you got to do is go 8-5 the rest of the way, and you're sitting on a 12-5 season, and only the top seed gets the bye. So if you get the division win and you get second seed, you're good. But would you, if I told you it's September 21st, and you're 3-0, maybe 4-0, and you got Saleh, who's also, the difference about Saleh this year, he's almost like he's a head coach. He looks at things differently, not only just the defensive coordinator, but he's got 3.5 months to get this team right. He's got trade deadlines coming up. If I told you you were 13-3 and then Bosa goes down, the playoffs are 2 weeks, then you're like, what are we going to do? But you got Saleh. You got this young defense with these new legs coming up. You got 3.5 months ready to get ready and at least go a minimum of 8-5 and get the division title. So, Niner fans out there, put your head up. We got a long way to go. September football, just like in baseball, September football is a lot different than December football. So, I got one more for you, dude. You're gonna like this one.
Okay.
Ready? Yep. Here we go. You know the name. He's Mac Jones. Back then, teams didn't want him. Now he's hot. They all own him. I'm out, fellas. Have a great day.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks, that guy. Oh, wow. Hope your ACL recovery goes smoothly.
What I don't like about that real quick is he didn't have any trauma. So you could tear your ACL and have no trauma? I thought you're...
There's a lot of people walking around that probably have a torn ACL and don't know it. It happens.
Now, I don't want to make the show
about
me.
If you're just a normal person, you don't really need your ACL to just walk around and do stuff. Like, you need your ACL to, like, cut and go back and forth and aggressively move around. If you're just walking, hell, even jogging, like, you don't really need an ACL.
Dude, I'm still hooping and got in a fight with Kaiser. Yeah, I was saying, give me an MRI. I had to go John Q to get an MRI, and they're like, sir, you got arthritis. I'm like, yeah, what's wrong with the knee? They're like, you got arthritis. I'm like, that's not, what's wrong with the knee? I done tore something. They're like, sir, you're old. You got arthritis. Hey, I was sitting there.
I didn't say it.
No, I was sitting there hurt like, that's not what ails me. But he said arthritis. I could have easily had a torn ACL. Didn't have one.
Dude,
no doubt, Priest. But man, oh man, let's just wish the best for Bosa. And the bottom line is, I will say he had a point there. This didn't happen 2 weeks going into the the playoff game or a week before.
Yeah.
So Robert Saleh now has to. The question is, can you handle it? Do you have the guys to handle what you know you're missing? And you found out what you're missing kind of ahead of the game. You got your three up in the win column, zero down in the loss column. Can you manipulate pressure? Can you trick it up? But we haven't really, and it's not time, Grandy. Do you think John Lynch is going, they're going to wait to see, hey, if we're 6-3, 7-2, whenever the deadline is, to really get active that way?
Yeah, I don't think they're close to making a trade.
Who would you trade now?
They might be calling. They might be calling
Dallas,
people up and gauging interest just saying, "Yeah, you traded away your pass rusher already."
Yeah.
And by the way, coming back to town. That's in Dallas, right?
Yeah, Sunday night.
Coming back to town on Sunday night. Packers versus Cowboys, which should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe for everybody but Cowboys fans, it should be fun.
You got to wait to see how you are.
Yeah. Because
right?
I mean, there is a world where. One or two things could happen. It could be somewhere in the middle, obviously, but the extremes are you are terrible without Nick and you desperately need help and you have to make a trade. You don't know that yet, though. And the other world is Mykael Williams in a bigger role turns out to be awesome.
You're right. I got you. And Alfred Collins
and C.J. West hold down the middle and D. Winters continues to ascend and Marquise Siegel looks good and you get Malik Mustafa back. And the defense is better than serviceable. Like, there's a world where that happens and the offense gets healthier. And say 5 weeks from now, you're
8-1. That's too many weeks. But 8-7-1.
Eight games from now. 7-1 or even 6-2. And you're like, okay, well, unless something changes, we don't need to make a move.
Now, Granny, it's funny you say that because.
So I think it's too early to think about that.
I call myself a sports romantic and I feel like, the passing his speeches, they do take place and they meet halftime. The coach is talking to everybody. But I find out sometimes from former athletes it's not like that. But I heard Bonte Shasky and Spadoni this morning just talk about what do the Niners front office owe guys like Warner? Guys that have been here, Trent Williams trying to get a ring before he gets out of here. And I thought to myself, if they keep winning and they're 6-2 or in that realm, I do wonder if that's enough motivation for Lynch and Shanahan. And maybe they don't even need that. They were going to be motivated anyway. But if you got a record like that and you're a player, like, who scares you? It's 3 weeks in, Grandy, but we talked about Green Bay. They just lost to Cleveland. 2 weeks ago, you were in the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay, I'm just like, those are good teams, but they're not dominant teams.
You brought up something else that is a pet peeve of mine. That guy, I hope your ACL recovery goes well. One, he said, at least it's not, Bosa tearing his ACL second to last week of the season. At least it happens now. So you know what you have.
Okay.
And I get it. But that guy's talking as if it's no question they're getting to the playoffs. You got to get there first.
Yeah, that call was positive.
Optimistic. It was absolutely optimistic.
Yeah. The glass runneth over.
Yes, not just half full. It is overflowing, no doubt. But, you got to get there first. And without Bosa, that becomes 10 times more challenging. Like, Bosa is...
But you're closer, five teams undefeated?
You're 3-0. It's a good start. But let's not pretend like it's a given that they're going to make the playoffs.
Because hit me with that 5-0 start, and they lost those three games.
And then the sky was falling. We were thinking, oh, my God, what's going to go wrong? You got to get there. And this brings up something that happened to the Packers. I don't know if you saw this, but their left tackle, Rashid Walker, said... after their week 2 win, who'd they play week 2? Oh, the Commanders.
Yeah.
He said, quote, "I think we can go undefeated. Pound for pound, I look at these teams and I don't really see who is better than us, honestly." And then the Packers followed it up and lose to the Browns in Cleveland. And Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, says after the game, and he's clearly referencing what Rashid Walker said about going undefeated. He says, quote, "The goal," and he's clearly frustrated, says, "the goal, and I've said it a million times to you guys, obviously not enough to our team. The goal is to go 1-0 every week. It pisses me off when we start thinking about things outside of the next game, things that are way down the road."
Wow.
And
They lose to Cleveland.
I'm not coming down your road, okay. That guy. All I'm saying is it's not a given you're going to make the playoffs, and that guy was thrown out 12-5. They could be 12-5. Yeah. That would be amazing. It's possible, but I'm not counting on it, is all I'm saying.
And it's the fun of being a fan, but I hear you. But boy, that didn't age well for your boy.
It did not age well for Rashid Walker.
Lost to Joe Flacco.
Packers left tackle.
That's stupid. Don't say that again.
What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, and we'll continue to dive into that. Plus, I want to ask you something about this Nick Bosa injury and maybe compare it to some others. We'll get to that when we come back. That segment was brought to you by Moderna. More Goo and Grandy on Steiny and Goo next on 95.7 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Willard from Willard and Dibs coming up at 2 o'clock, but now back to Steiny and Goo. Goo, you're my guy. Steiny? Eh.
I love Willard, but he's got like eight. Where Dibs must have not cut one for us. I'm going to get on him today.
Did you cut him for Willard and Dibs?
Sound like you hadn't got it yet.
I hadn't gotten it.
Oh, no, I did one for Butch and Spadoni.
So you didn't do them for Willard and Dibs.
But why wouldn't they have me do all of them?
I don't know. Who did it? Who did it with you?
Matt Carter.
Wow.
And we did it in the hallway.
Who the hell knows why Carter does what Carter does?
He put hands on me in fantasy.
You did it in the hallway?
Yeah.
We have studios here.
I know, but he had some device and I just, da-da-da-da. It felt good coming off the tongue.
Mm-hmm. Some device? You mean his phone?
Yeah, some device.
But this when is you a say radio device, station,
yeah,
Carter.
It sounds better.
It's unacceptable.
Exactly.
I'm jealous of Dibs right now.
Why?
We used to have a podcast, Liquidate All Assets, and it was gambling. Wagertainment.
I remember that. Yeah, okay. Back in the day, I produced a couple of those episodes.
So what I've been doing on TikTok.
Before you knew who I was.
You're my guy. Oregon's finest. You know, I'll give you some winners on my TikTok, Guru's Lock of the Day.
Give
and I guess
follow.
The station retweeted Dibs yesterday. He's been doing Thursday, Monday, and Sunday night games.
Yeah, all the primetime
and
games.
And Kenny's 12-2 and I don't know. I'm about 3-7, but I'm bothered that he's 12-2 and is getting run like. So now when he comes in, I'm going to challenge him to a bet off.
Oh, and then we'll I am looking forward to this.
He don't know, but I don't like him getting the 12-2 shine. And then when I told him, he's like, oh, it's just Sunday night.
You got to be a team player, girl. Celebrate your teammate's success.
I'm the handicapper, not him.
Well, he's 12-2, girl.
Apparently not. Yeah.
Yesterday was his most impressive pick of all, because
I took the Ravens. He took Detroit.
What we do on the show, the segment had been called Fade the Dibbers.
What's it now?
Ride the Dibbers.
No doubt about
it.
He's hot.
He's been hot all year. But
see, I hate that.
Yesterday was yesterday was one of the first picks where Willard, Lucas, and I all disagreed with him. Because he's made a lot of picks.
So you were on the Ravens, too.
And we oftentimes would be like, yeah, I think that's the right pick. Maybe we bet it, maybe we don't. Yeah, but we're like, yeah, see where you're coming from, Dibs. Yesterday was the first day that I can remember in quite a long time where all the other three of us were like,
oh,
yeah, we're picking against you, Dibs.
So that one was super sweet. Yeah.
Lions didn't just cover, but they won.
290-plus yard drives.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of Baltimore.
They're 1-2, and now
they're about to be losing Kansas City.
Well, so the craziness is
Lamar's 1-5 against Mahomes.
Chiefs and Ravens, they play each other. One of them will be 1-3.
Yeah, it happens.
1-3?
Not in the Bay, though.
I mean, the Ravens were 1-2 last year, too, right?
Yeah, I just
think they were.
I'm going to say this. No, black on black crime, Lamar will never win one. I'm just saying that. I'm just telling you, because, dude, they come for me. I just don't believe. When they prep for him, He don't got a curveball or anything off speed. I truly believe that.
He was not very good yesterday.
What was that?
How many times did he run into sacks?
Now, that was like, oh, they didn't figure something out.
How many times did the Lions sack him? Like seven or eight times?
Seven. And they did that to Mike Vick at the end where they kind of took his security blanket away, and he would just kind of roll into that. Like, now
who
we
was his security
Mike
blanket?
Vick being able to roll to the outside and get outside the pocket
and take
off.
Oh, they didn't let him do
off.
That anymore?
Yeah, when you bottle him in. They did that to Randall Cunningham, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, interesting. AFC is a weird, weird place right now.
You buying the Chargers?
Yeah, I'm buying the Chargers.
They're good.
Chargers are really good.
So once you get a real coach, that's all it takes?
Half of it is my belief in Herbert, and half of it is Harbaugh. Harbaugh's awesome.
Oh, man. And they got a defense.
And Harbaugh's the kind of team who's better in the playoffs than they are in the regular season, too.
What about Pittsburgh?
No.
Their defense was good. They got lucky to be doing this.
Everyone's going to watch what Pittsburgh did against the Patriots and be like, oh, my God, that defense is amazing.
Please, no, they lost that game.
No, the Patriots turned the ball over.
Yeah, there you go.
The Steelers did not force turnovers.
And he fumbled in the end zone.
I know you. You say my neighbor.
Oh yeah, he was happy.
My neighbor bet on the Patriots, and that was the worst possible game to ever watch, according to my neighbor.
Yeah,
when that
last one though,
that on the line
is when you have Philly minus two, they're the Rams are going to beat them, and then they block the kick and run it back and cover.
And they don't have to return
it
to win the game, but they return it and they win and they cover. Crazy.
Ooh, man.
888-957-9570. We've got the crossover coming up in a little bit with Willard and Dibs. You got to make a bet off with Dibs. We also have to ask Willard to do his Kevin Harlan impression for you.
Oh, man, I already have forgotten.
We'll have to remember that. Until then, we got time for your calls and your texts. Again, at 888-957-9570. Let me ask you this, Goo, because we're talking about the Nick Bosa ACL tear, and he's out for the year.
Man.
Pretend the Niners are fully healthy.
All right.
And I tell you, all right, this team is going to get a season-ending injury to one of their key players. What's the worst spot that could happen to? Worst position, worst player that could happen
close.
To?
It's not even close.
What's
the
rank?
McCaffrey.
And where does Bosa fall in that ranking?
It's number 54. I believe if Fred Warner were to go down right now.
He's the number one.
Oh, there's
you can't
no
survive
doubt.
Fred.
You can't. You now, in my estimation, and this no shade at Brock, you got the bag, but there's no doubt this Mac Jones can handle it. Okay, I'm just going to say that. When I say handle it, you don't fall all the way off. McCaffrey, I feel like B-Rob, if this is what the running game is going to look like, it is 3.1 a pop or 3.4, okay, slide him in there. Then obviously, you'll take a step back. But right now, if this defense, this young defense, after losing Bosa, were to lose Fred W., who I think, and I'm going to give you the thing before we get out of here, the categories for MVP.
Yeah.
Fred 54 is gone. I think that's the one that has these youngsters feeling like Gilligan. Oh, I'm on an island all by myself. I think Fred's in. Just watch him. And I got to go find that video of him saying, I almost got it out, or I feel like the fumble was coming. But that's mine. I would go Fred Warner, McCaffrey. And
so,
then,
So the other option. So we got Fred. You got McCaffrey. Obviously, Bosa, Kittle, Trent.
And I'm going Trent third.
Purdy.
Yeah, I'm going Trent third.
So where does Bosa land for you?
Oh, I thought he was off the board.
Oh, no, include Bosa.
Okay, so
where does he land in that ranking of guys we absolutely can't lose for the season?
I said it earlier, I got him too.
So he slides in ahead of McCaffrey, after Fred?
No. Who did I say first?
See, you said Fred.
But I only said Fred because I thought Bosa was off the board.
No. Bosa's available.
Okay, so here we go. They're fully healthy. Logan. Okay, so I'm going
It's hard.
Yeah, but damn, I'm going Fred Warner first.
Still.
Yeah, I'm still. No shade. I'm calling it real. Fred Warner first. I believe that. This dude,
Ray Lewis. Take me until you get to Bosa.
I'll go Bosa second.
Okay.
That's how vital they
are to
get.
So you think Fred and Bosa, valuable than the quarterback?
Yeah.
Than the tight end, left tackle, and then the running back?
Yeah. Well, because I was going to put Trent third. Trent third. So McCaffrey's not on there for me. So
neither is Purdy. Yeah. That's crazy. Is it because of Mac Jones? No doubt. Yeah, so keep in mind who the backup is and who you have if those guys go out. Like, so with Fred Warner, you got Nick Martin, a rookie. Tatum Bethune.
Nah,
you got Luke Gifford.
Now you're asking too much of Salah. Like, even if he was on his A, I don't think you could replace that type of leadership and production with Fred Warner.
Okay, so at left tackle, you got Spencer Burford.
Yeah, but
man, is your backup?
That's
Austin Pleasance.
Nah, we're talking about Trent. And it ain't been pretty with Trent. So imagine him not being there. Would that go to 2.1?
So your backup to Kittle is Tonjes and Farrell?
Now, quietly, Kittle's the best tight end in the game. But quietly,
they've done a good job.
No doubt.
Expectations are low as pass catchers, but they've done a good job. All right. Yeah. I mean, they have each of them have a touchdown catch, and one of them was a game-winning touchdown catch.
Yeah, but man, oh man.
Let's see. Those are the guys behind Kittle. Behind McCaffrey, it's Brian Robinson, and then you got some other guys. You got Garendo and Jordan James behind him.
What happened to Garendo? Let's just talk about him for a minute.
I don't want Garendo returning kicks anymore.
I thought when Jordan Mason left, he was the guy. He's been relegated to kickoffs.
I do not want him returning kicks either.
Oh, so you're done with him doing that?
Damn,
Grandy. One,
he'll take the ball out of the end zone when if you just call for a fair catch, you get it at the 35.
Well, he wants some action,
he'll
Grandy.
Trip up at the 20, cost you 15 yards. And two, he doesn't –
you like the ha-ha, right?
He just a straight line runner. And hey, he's fast when he's running straight. But you got to juke. You got to get a little shifty when you're on kick return.
That's pretty
And he
good.
Can't. He'll run right into a tackle.
I'm asking you this because, I mean, why do you think they got him doing that job then? They got to know that, too.
I don't know. I don't want him doing it anymore.
That's funny.
I don't really trust Sky Moore either, but I think I'd rather have Sky Moore do it. He has a better chance to break something. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so those
are your three? Who are your three? I know that was a few ball of confusion.
I mean,
Number one.
It's hard for me to not say Purdy, but because Mac is there, that does, I think, mean he's not as we've seen it through 2 weeks. They've won both games with their backup quarterback, which is a big deal. I think I might, because of what the offensive line is, I might say Trent, number one.
Okay.
I might say...
Don't tell me Fred's the best player if he's not even in this three.
McCaffrey?
They won six games without him.
I don't know. I'm having a really hard time ranking him. Because, well, the Fred part is interesting to me, too, because I think...
Man, oh, man. He's their best player, man.
He's amazing, and he's the best player at his position. I mean, him and Kittle are, I think, the only two that have, like, relatively easy claims as the best at their position in the NFL, on the Niners, right? Like, there are others that have debates. Yeah. Like, maybe you think Trent is still the best left tackle. That's debatable at this point. Purdy is not the best quarterback in the NFL. Nick Bosa is not the best pass rusher, but he's up there, right? But Fred and Kittle and specifically Fred, like best at their position in the league.
Come on, man.
Specifically for Fred by a mile, in my opinion.
Fred should be number one.
But I think what a pass rusher does, especially when you don't really have any other proven guys, what a pass rusher does to help everyone on defense, especially when you have a young secondary.
But was Bosa doing that?
Yeah, even if he wasn't getting the sacks, I think he was.
Well, I gave him that. He got off to a good start.
We look at the sack category as if it's the end-all, be-all, and you're getting paid a bunch of money. Yeah, that maybe it is fair to talk about Bosa and the lack of sacks the last couple of years.
And then the Super Bowl,
he's impacting the game.
Crashing down on Mahomes. I'm sorry I had to bring that, but no, those are
you're
real.
Right. I'm just saying if I were to rank, I might rank Nick ahead of Fred in terms of guys we can't afford to lose. Simply because of the fact that I think with a young secondary, having an elite pass rusher is paramount.
No doubt.
And I don't think they have an elite pass rusher without Nick Bosa.
No, I'm with you.
And they might have an elite third down guy.
And you might have one or two in the making, but we'll find out. And now that's why your boy has to get creative. Real quick, you brought up Brock, and I was just thinking what you said. You think it's a byproduct of, you know, hey, Ross Tucker, who we had on at 11 o'clock today.
Yeah.
Grandy, I was talking about the 40 pass attempts, but I'm looking at Brock in Seattle. 35. So this, you might be right, Grandy. This was Kyle seeing what they can do in the run game, and this is a byproduct of it. So it ain't like it was 25 or 18. It's 35 is damn near 40. So now I'm thinking, okay, you know, when Brock does come back, if it's that week, if we see those many pass attempts. But on top of that, the offense still with Brock.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty Grandy only mustered up 17 points. And again, I know it was New Orleans. You got 26. But moving forward, man, it is going to be imperative that they just, for whatever reason, you got to muster up some points. And it's been beautiful. You've been getting lucky, and the defense has been there. But now your defensive anchor, is one of them, is gone. So you got to – they got to up that, man, ASAP.
They have to. And, I mean – it's going to be as much on Kyle Shanahan, too, as anybody else. I know that you think he's doing a hell of a job through 3 weeks, and he is. He's going to have to do an even better job now because the offense has to score more points.
But he's being more gangster. You know, I love what he's doing, you know, with the second teamers or whatnot, you know, but I love the play calling. Like, I didn't see that fourth and two for 34 to Pearsall. I just have a problem. There could have been more safer plays.
What's going through your mind on fourth and two when that ball's in the air? And it's a deep shot.
Why are you rolling the dice like this? But it's four. It's 2 yards, not 12.
Did you like them going forward on fourth and goal from the one?
No, I did.
You wanted the field goal? Because at that point, it's
because I thought you had
it was a tie game,
yes.
Late third.
What are you doing? And then I feel like momentum, Uncle Mo, is a real thing.
Yep.
Until it's not. Until somebody makes the the next big play. But I couldn't believe, I said, he is just, he's got job security, that we know.
Yep.
And maybe he's just at a point in his coaching career, Grandy, where I don't care what the peanut gallery says. I'm doing it Frank Sinatra my way.
My way.
And he did it.
He did. We got the crossover in a little less than 10 minutes.
Oh, I got to get this. Yeah, I got it. You keep talking.
Do you want to do the NFL awards?
If I was a real pro, I'd already have it.
The updated odds?
Yeah, but you know.
You're trying to quiz me.
Yeah, here we go.
So what do we got? We got MVP.
Okay, right now we got through 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Can Mark Grandy guess the top three MVP candidates?
What's up?
This can't be right.
What do you mean?
Oh, my. Okay, this is MVP, but all right, yeah, can you guess them?
Top three, yeah. MVP.
Well, you know what? There's four for each category, so there's four. Four, who do you got?
Well, number one for MVP right now, the Vegas odds got to be Josh Allen. Is that right?
If you got it.
Number one?
Yeah, and we'll do two because there's one more person. Who's behind Josh Allen? So Josh is the favorite. This one is 100 to 1.
I'm just going
to
bring up NFL standings so I can look at all the
teams. I'll give you a hint. Ross Tucker brought him up. Yeah, you like that, Kitty?
Ross Tucker brought him
up? Yeah, brought this second in the MVP voting guy up in our interview at 11 o'clock hour.
Did I black out during the interview? I can't remember him mentioning any other quarterback.
I asked about somebody.
Oh, wait. Daniel Jones?
Yeah, Daniel Jones is 100. Excuse me, yeah.
Wait,
he went from 100 to 1 to 50 to
wait,
1.
Wait, so he's second on the odds?
Yeah, I got it right here.
What?
Yep.
Okay, Herbert's got to be up there.
Yeah, Herbert's third.
So I'm just missing the fourth place guy?
Yeah. You know what? We're going to miss the quarterbacks because what this dude did is he just updated certain individuals, so it's not in sequence.
Oh,
so now I'll ask you defensive player of the year. We'll just do one. Who do you think's in the number one? There's two of them. You can guess two. Who's number one right now through 3 weeks, would you say?
I think storylines matter, so Micah Parsons.
There you go. And then who would be number two?
Number two.
Defensive player of the year.
I'm going to stick in the realm of the Packers because they just played this team. Myles Garrett.
And
no?
This guy pays toll at the Bay Bridge, Fred Warner.
Okay, Fred.
I think Fred's got a great chance at that. Three games, Grandy. You got to stay
These
healthy.
Days, it's hard for a linebacker to win it, but
all right, here we go.
He deserves it.
Two for Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year. Oh, it's got to be Steichen with the Colts right now, right?
I had to get that one.
Well, right, who's the biggest surprise so far? I mean, is Harbaugh up there,
yeah,
too?
No, look at my man.
Jim, not John.
Now, how about Offensive Player of the Year? Excuse me, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, man.
I mean, there's been...
The Windy City he resides.
Offensive Rookie of the Year in Chicago?
Yeah. Boy, I'm going to have problems pronouncing this one.
In Chicago? Rookie? Who?
I'll tell you who's second.
Okay.
Tyler Warren.
Okay.
Okay.
I would guess that Emeka Ibuka would be up there.
Yeah, and that's who it is.
Oh, he's in Tampa.
Yeah, I had him in Chicago. yeah. But you didn't guess him first, though.
Well, because you told me he's in Chicago.
I did. And then let's do Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Defensive Rookie of the Year.
And I don't even think this dude deserves it, but I'm not saying he's playing bad.
Oh, God. I mean...
He's in the state state where Jay-Z is from.
New York?
Yep.
So, not a Jet.
And the Oregon Ducks are playing his alma mater.
Oh, Abdul Carter.
Yeah, look at
it. Okay.
All right, and then the second one is Carson Schweisinger.
Schweisinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the Browns.
Okay.
Linebacker. Look at you.
And then we'll do, through 3 weeks, Comeback Player of the Year.
Oh, God. Who came back from something last year? Oh, McCaffrey.
Yeah, he's up there, number one. Who's number two? We kind of talked about him already. I don't know if he can be in two categories.
Oh, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Because he didn't really play last year.
Can you go? And then Carson Wentz third.
Carson Wentz.
What's up with him? Okay. He's got an opportunity, though.
That's interesting because you and I and Ken were talking about this in the green room before the show. I think the Vikings are making way for Carson Wentz to be their starting quarterback.
Now, I'm supposed to have the conspiracies. You did that, but...
So, okay, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Hell of a win, week one in Chicago.
But it was an ugly game up until
ugly
the fourth.
But he was great in the fourth, right. But ugly for the majority of the game. And then week two, who'd they have week two? The Falcons. At home, and J.J. McCarthy was miserable.
No, it was bad.
Terrible. Okay, he looked like the worst quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Like, Spencer Rattler looked miles better than him. And he plays the whole game, and he's moving around. And legitimately, I think, like, the last throw that he made in that game, he was, like, rolling out to the right and was moving perfectly fine, looked 100% healthy. And then right when the game ends, they say he's out for next week. He's already out for next week. Carson Wentz is going to be our starter. And then before... Carson Wentz even starts week three, they say, yeah, JJ's going to be out for at least a couple more weeks.
I'm telling you,
I think they're faking this injury.
But why? And they're trying.
You want to see the prom king. They don't think he's good.
You want to see the prom king.
Because they think
fall.
They can win with Carson Wentz.
No, just think about what you're saying. He's failed Carson Wentz, that is, guys, so much that's too big of a reach for the investment they got in McCarthy to let Darnold go for one. And then pull the plug this fast, like for Carson Wentz, who I mean he's got an opportunity to do something here, but I just think it's too soon for them to give up on JJ. Has he looked bad? Yes, but he won one game.
I'm just telling you, there's something fishy with that injury.
That's funny
he
that
looked
you
fine.
When you brought that up, I wasn't mad at you.
He looked fine health wise through 2 weeks, and then they're very quickly ruling him out, not just for 1 week, but for multiple weeks. I don't know. I. No, Fulwell, this is a conspiracy theory that I have.
I love you for having it, though.
But there's something fishy. There's something going on there. I'm telling you.
I mean, not for Wentz, though. If you were telling me even Cousins or something more. And Carson might do shock the world. This is last chance. You better try to do something. But
he started a game for six different teams over the last 6 years.
Yeah. Remember we – oh, no, that was Stein. I blew it. I missed one team. I said, can you guess the teams?
Oh, God, I don't think I could do it.
And I wouldn't remember right now either. I know Philly for one.
Yeah, the Colts were one.
Okay, look at you.
Were the Commanders one?
That's three.
Obviously now the Vikings.
That's four. You only missed the two. Carson Wentz.
Was he the backup for the Chiefs?
I got to go. I would have to go.
Yeah. There's one more.
One more. Carson Wentz.
I don't remember the last one.
And I'm you got it.
Let me do this real quick, and then you guys can let me know. This Sunday, we're going back to Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale for the kickoff show. Great food, great drinks, and great games in the parking lot. The show starts at 10 with Evan Giddings and Loneal, and all the early games will be on for you to watch. And get this, if you're going to the game, a free shuttle to and from the stadium. That's right, park at Laughing Monk for free, join the party, and then take the shuttle back and forth to the game. All you have to do is sign up and reserve a spot. Do it now because space is limited. Go to 957thegame.com, click on the kickoff show graphic, and then click on the Eventbrite link and sign up, and we will see you there. What's the last team I'm missing?
I want to throw the ball at you because I'm old. I know that ain't my stuff. Google is my friend.
Uh-huh.
Where he started at?
Oh.
The Rams.
Wait, where?
Rams.
He didn't start there. He started in Philly.
Yeah, but the Rams.
Okay, I forgot about the Rams.
Oh, boy.
He has bounced around like crazy.
He got hurt against the Rams.
He did.
Yeah.
And he was going to win the MVP that year.
No doubt.
And he got hurt. And then Nick Foles won the Super Bowl.
And they were playing in the Coliseum.
Crazy. That segment was brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. Willard and Dibs in the crossover coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.